Este es un podcast de Ibero 90.9. Las palabras pertenecen al aire. Y el viento no tiene por qué llevárselas. Con la llegada de los podcasts, la radio vive otra oportunidad. Esto es Segundo Aire. Conversaciones que el aire nos trajo, pero el viento no se pudo llevar. Todos los jueves, encuentra un nuevo episodio con lo mejor de la propuesta cultural y musical de Ibero 90.9.
Imagina formar una banda con tus mejores amigas al cumplir los 15 años y convertirse en una estrella de rock. Nora Cheng, Penelope Lowenstein y Gigi Ruiz viven ese sueño. Juntas son Horse Girl. En este episodio, Nora Cheng conversa con Valeria Estrada durante el programa Los Miércoles Usamos Rosa de Ibero 90.9. La cantante habla de su conexión con el sonido emergente de su natal Chicago, el mismo que la llevó a conocer a sus compañeras de banda y cimentó las bases para su amistad. Además, su amor por el ruido, la coincidencia de crecer rodeadas de música en casa y compartir bandas noventeras como The Raincoats, The Slits, The Softies o Beat Happening. Nora también nos cuenta su experiencia con la productora Kate LeBone, destacando la importancia de colaborar con mentores y artistas más experimentados para ir construyendo el camino de sus carreras. En este segundo aire, Horse Girl.
There's a lot of things that I want to talk about in this interview. I guess the main one being growing up and making music and, you know, everything that comes with your story in general. But I guess one of the first things that stands out the most of Horse Girl is how when you started your band, you were really, really young, and your music in general, but this new album specifically reminds me of bands that I used to listen to when I was younger, but are bands from like the 90s or the 80s, such as, I don't know, like Beat Happening, The Raincoats, The Slits, The Softies even. But those bands are really, really under, and it kind of surprises me that 15-year-old teenagers would listen to music like that. So what was your musical upbringing like? Or like, what did your parents listen to? What did you grow up listening to? Or like, how did the sound of Horse Girl come to be?
I think that all three of us kind of had different upbringings with music. For me, it was kind of like, my family was, I was kind of raised on music. There was music playing in my house all the time, but it was more so classic rock, I guess. And my dad played guitar. He started playing classical guitar, and then he got an electric guitar, and that's the electric guitar that I play now. So I do have to thank my family for for my appreciation for music. But then I guess when I got older and like entered my teens, I kind of delved into, you know, stuff more like what you said, or Yo La Tengo was a really early one. And then meeting Penelope and Gigi, it was kind of like, these were the first people that I met who liked the same stuff as me. And it kind of just took off from there.
I'm sure you connected through music and through your similar music tastes. And is that how the friendship started?
I met both of them in a musical program. And then the first time we all hung out together was when both of them separately told me that they wanted to go to the same show. Yeah, it was some show in a warehouse in Chicago.
What kind of shows did you go to? Or like, what was the band that all of you wanted to go see? Or like, how was your teenage years over there?
We kind of just wanted to go to shows and see music. And it kind of, we weren't very discerning about what the music even was at that point. We just really liked the energy. And they're kind of, it didn't really feel like there was anyone our age who was into the same stuff we were into. At the beginning, we were really into noise and like just indie rock in general. And then there was a big scene of older Chicago bands who we weren't very, we didn't really have a relationship with at all, but we did really respect them. Like, I don't know, the band Dead, D-E-H-D. Yeah, there was already a lot of good music in Chicago, but we were happy that more people our age have kind of popped up as well.
I know that this album came in like a very pivotal moment in your lives. You've just moved to New York City. Some of you are starting college. How did this big move impact your music and vice versa? How did your music or how has making music impacted your lives?
The songs that we made for the second album were written for the first time ever outside of Penelope's basement, because that's where we were most comfortable, and that's just in high school where we did everything. So a lot changed when we moved here. We were practicing in this like dingy warehouse practice space with a tiny window. So I think that just the change of place, and also you do so much, you have so many new experiences in this small period between, like, I don't know, 16 and 21, having such a separation in space, in place, I feel like really made us kind of just understand our sound in a new way. And I think that's probably why this record sounds so different from the last one.
Do you feel more grown up, or because, like, I'm 30 years old and I still feel 15 sometimes, so, like, has moving out of your parents' house and moving to a new city and starting college, do you feel like, okay, I'm a grown up now, or it hasn't kicked in yet?
That's a good question. It is a mix. I mean, living without your parents is a big thing, and I, like, learned so much about just, you know, cooking for myself, or, like, how to grocery shop smart. I feel like everybody probably still feels like a kid sometimes, and especially going back home, you're like, well, not that much has changed.
I know you've grown as a band tons since Visions of Modern Performance, so I want to talk now about the production of this album, which I know Kate LeBon was a producer, and funny enough, I actually came across your music via a tweet from the Pains of Being Pure at Heart frontman, Kip Berman, many years ago. And I feel like there's been tons of support from people in the industry who have, you know, had your backs, who are fans of your music, who have, in a way, sort of impulsed your sound and, you know, just, like, helping you be where you are. So I guess, how was working with Kate LeBon, and, you know, like, are there any other people in the industry that you remember who have truly supported your music?
Working with Kate LeBon was really great. Like, I feel like we kind of clicked very quickly and developed this very specific insular language of, like, how to talk about music for those 2 weeks we were in the studio. She understood us and our kind of, like, jankiness. Like, we kind of like mistakes, you know, or the sound of, like, a guitar that's just plugged straight into the amp. She, like, values that kind of simplicity or the charm of that stuff. In terms of other musicians, a lot in Chicago, they have the festival Pitchfork, which we played when we were kind of, like, it was very early on in our career, and it was very, like, we felt a little out of our depth there, so we were all kind of very nervous. The people who work at the festival are oftentimes just Chicago musicians, you know, like, getting a little extra money on the side. So I feel like that experience when we were, you know, backstage at Pitchfork, kind of just, like, talking to these people, like, we talked to some people in Twin Peaks, like, they're all just very, they were very sweet to us, and, like, I feel like they could tell we were nervous, but have also been in our position before. It's nice to just be around older musicians.
I just find it fascinating that Horse Girl has all these influences, and, you know, I think that's a really special factor of the band. Like, you just spoke about your upbringing and what music you used to listen to and the influence from your parents. And now you have, like, the support from all these musicians. And I'm really excited about the path that is ahead of Horse Girl. I don't know if you have, like, some sort of quick reflection just to close up the interview about, you know, like, the past years and where you see yourself, or, like, you know, how everything has changed, and where are you right now? How are you feeling with everything?
I feel like we've been sitting on this album for a whole year, and finally having it in the world is just really sweet. And sometimes you have the thing where over the year you start to feel less connected to what you made, but I still feel very there with this album. And we're going to Chicago this weekend to play an album release show. So we'll see all of our old friends. And I'm just excited.
That's really cool. Thank you so much, Nora. It's actually about the last album of Visions of Modern Performance. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's a Mexican coin in the cover. And I was just wondering, like, how did you came about that? Or, like, if there's a special connection you have in Mexico, did you visit and it was some spare change? Just as a, you know, a little, it's a good wink to your Mexican fans.
That's sweet. And also, yeah, people from, like, Canada have also expressed that they're like excited to see a toonie on there, so it has connected with people, which is very nice. We made that album cover ourselves with like stuff we found around Penelope's house, so I think that her family had probably traveled recently and they just had like, you know, coins from all these different places, and we put them in the scanner and that became the album cover. And I guess we weren't thinking about, you know, symbolism or anything at the time, but, you know, maybe, you know, horse girl worldwide.
I was always very excited to see a Mexican coin in the cover of the album. And I'm really excited about, you know, what's coming for Horse Girl. Hopefully you'll be coming to Mexico City sometime soon. But if not, it was lovely talking to you, Nora. And thank you so much for the time and for sharing, you know, some backstories about the album.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We have one song that you picked to play in the radio. Is there a specific reason why you wanted to play Rock City? Or why did that one came to mind?
We've been practicing playing live recently for the show that we're about to play. And that was one that I was like, I felt like I reconnected with when playing it live. So I guess it's been on my mind. But this is the recorded version.
Para más conversaciones con las artistas que marca la vanguardia musical, escucha Ibero 90.9 FM, al aire en la Ciudad de México las 24 horas del día. El guión de este episodio fue escrito por Isabel Allensi y editado por Daniel Maldonado. La postproducción es de Pepe Macías. Hasta la próxima.
Más podcasts, música y radio en vivo en Ibero 90.9 FM.